This is Greg Olson, here to tell you about my new podcast, TE1. On the show, I had a chance to talk to my fellow tight ends who have revolutionized the position from an extra lineman to a dual threat superstar. And just like my guests have changed the game, this year, NFLSundayTicket.tv is revolutionizing your NFL viewing experience. Stream all the live out-of-market NFL games every Sunday on your favorite devices and never miss a moment from your favorite players. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use the promo code Greg88 at checkout and get 15% off your subscription. That's NFLSundayTicket.tv and the promo code Greg88. Subscribe to TE1 and get NFLSundayTicket.tv, an unmatched dual threat.
Blue Wire.
It's over! Cleveland is a city of champions once again!
The Cleveland Cavaliers select Colin Sexton, Darius Garland.
Here comes Sexton. Some rhythm.
And he got it! Young ball continues to wear him out!
Do you know what the Cavs fans are calling the Darius Garland, Colin Sexton backcourt?
What?
Sexland.
Oh, that's good.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm your host, Justin.
Oh, Justin, we got to stop because my audio is not coming through. You're just going to have to sit with me for a second, and people are going to have to hear me. And that's tough for them, and I understand that.
This is a level of professionalism that I expect from.
Oh, you can't. They can't hear you anyway. So here's
they can't hear me.
Okay, they can hear you now. I had the wrong input on Zoom.
Good God. And on that note, welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm your host, Justin Rowan, and this is the Draft Lottery Special. With me today is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. I'm really excited for some lotto shenanigans. It's going to be one of the first lottos where we're actively rooting against having the first overall pick.
Well, I've moved on from that. My picks evolve. I've elevated to a higher plane, Carter.
Well, based on the playoffs, we've been taking a lot of L's. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are super fun. The Rockets are beating the shit out of the Thunder. This is tough.
The Thunder is really tough because you got two of my Canadian brethren taking L's. But a team that's finally not taking an L is the Milwaukee Bucks. And our friend Ty Windisch of the Eurostep podcast is with us today to help talk about what's going on in the bubble and to kind of be a third party to our lottery joy or pain. Ty, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. I'm just don't jinx the Bucks. They're not out of this yet. The game is still technically going, I believe. They could still lose. I'm just not confident after Tuesday, but I'm doing well. They haven't lost yet. It looks like they're not going to. And I can't wait to jump in. The Bucks don't have that much lotto experience lately, not even like a flex. Like even when they're bad, they're not usually top of the lotto bad. So I'm excited to see what this is like for you guys.
Yeah, normally when they have draft picks, they trade them for Grievous Vasquez or something along those lines.
Just settle and take Don. Why not just take Don, right?
Well, you know what? I'm going to have a little more confidence in you. I'm going to say that of the top three contenders in the NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks are going to get the first legitimate win because you didn't have to get Kristaps Porzingis ejected or anything like that. How have you enjoyed these bubble playoffs? Because I'm of two thoughts here. I think the quality of play is incredibly high and it's been really enjoyable. But at the same time, there is kind of like a weird detached feel where I don't know if it's just because we're at the end of August and we're watching the first round of the NBA playoffs. I don't know how much of it is the fans. I don't feel like I'm noticing the fans, but it does seem like it's just a little bit different than what I'm accustomed to.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think the reason that first I was super into it, and then we've seen all of the top three contenders just play really poorly. And I think it's like a little bit jarring and weird. I mean, upsets are fun. And like the first one, I think the Bucks were the first to lose. Maybe the Clippers got pushed first and they won. Like you said, a close contested game, and then the Bucks lost horribly. Then the Lakers lost fairly poorly. It's just weird. There's just a little bit of cognitive dissonance. Like, how is this even possible? But, I mean, some teams played well. Some teams didn't play well. At least one of them has bounced back. The Bucks, hopefully, they're only up 11 with 4 minutes left. So we will see.
This is a classic guy going through the playoffs, only up 11 to the Orlando Magic with 4 minutes left.
Listen, DJ buddy. Augustine is the one in a 4-1 series loss, not a 2, okay?
Up 9 now, okay?
Based on Tuesday,
I feel like I have reason to be concerned. But I think the basketball is largely good outside of those top three teams really just not playing well for whatever reason. It's very mysterious, and I just hope everyone plays to their relative peak, and not just because I think the Bucks' relative peak will get them a title. Just in general, that's what I like to see from the playoffs.
Yeah, that's fair. I do think you're right, Ty, that there is like just a little bit of uncanny valley going on here of like, so I'm being told it's playoff basketball, but there's no people there. So it kind of feels like Orlando Summer League, but I know it's not because they're trying really hard and all the good players are there. It's just a little bit of it is a little bit jarring, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. No, it absolutely is. And Carter, I think you had one of the better theories that I've heard on kind of why we've seen some of these teams struggle. Like Milwaukee, I think their game one loss was just a bit of a fluke. Like Chris Middleton hasn't necessarily played great since the start of the playoffs. I think that's going to change. I mean, his history suggests he's a big time player in the playoffs, even though we like to make jokes otherwise. But your theory about kind of the veterans, which I mean, in these playoffs kind of includes LeBron, Kawhi, and Paul George. Do you want to expand on that? Because I thought it was a really, really valid point.
Yeah, so I mentioned this during our episode with Jason Maples, where I said that, you know, the big thing that we don't know still about this bubble and kind of how it's going to affect the players. A lot of people are like, oh, you know, some players are going to show up out of shape, whatever. And, you know, I saw a lot of with LeBron specifically, a lot of people are like, oh, well, LeBron's going to come ready because he takes care of his body better than everyone else. And he's got access to resources that, you know, your minimum level player probably doesn't have access to. And I just thought, I'm just a little nervous about this because, you know, I think that a lot of these older players are going to take a little bit longer to warm up and really hit their midseason stride. Like these guys take all, like LeBron talks about, he takes all year to get up into playoff readiness. So 3 months of nothing in between that doesn't seem like his optimal physical situation. So I think you are seeing that right now. I don't think he looks particularly sharp. Like I was listening to David Thorpe and he was talking about how his skill game looked off in the bubble games, in the seeding games. I would agree. And he hasn't been able to really impose his will on top of the Lakers just not looking very talented. But I do think that in general, the idea that and he's really the only old star left around at this point. Like
yeah.
Everyone else is at least like in their 30s, like, you know, in terms of mileage, like Kawhi or PG. And I forget who noted on
Twitter. It hasn't slowed down Carmelo, Carter.
No, it has not.
What do you have to say to that?
Doesn't have quite the amount of responsibility. So, yeah, I just think that it's a factor. And I know that there's going to be people who want to say, oh, you're making excuses for him. But, like, I kind of thought it might be a thing. And I think it's kind of starting to look that way.
Mm-hmm. I think just to expound on that, it feels like the teams that look really good right now, maybe except for Houston, are the teams that really felt like they had to win in the bubble seeding games. And I just think that cohesiveness is something I and a lot of other people really underrated. Like the Blazers looked awesome because they've been playing for their lives for like 3 weeks, whereas the Lakers really phoned in most of these games. And I think like that, and the Bucks phoned in part of them. I mean, really lucky, but unlucky the last week. Giannis tooth surgery and suspension keeps him out basically all week, which meant they didn't get to play with their full starters in the week before the playoffs. I think that cohesiveness took a toll on a lot of the teams. And I think like
Eaton in the chat, I think that's his first name is Adam. Eaton AM in Periscope. He follows us on Twitter, but he just mentioned CP3, also pretty old and not looking so hot. So it's not just LeBron. That's actually a really good call. He's really the only other old head that's left in these playoffs that's leading a team.
Yeah.
I have a take on this, and I think that two things can be true. I think one, we can acknowledge that this is not a continuation of this past regular season. This is a totally different animal. These teams are not at the gear that they were in March. That being said, it is also a level playing field. Like, I don't think there is any excuses for these teams. It's going to be a testament to the coaches, the individual team leaders on each team. It's a level playing field. And yes, you are at a disadvantage because you had your season derailed, but everyone else did as well. And yes, there are going to be teams that were functioning at a higher gear, like Portland, to get into the bubble playoffs. But That doesn't necessarily excuse losing to them. And I, to be clear, I don't think the Lakers are actually at a risk of losing to the Blazers. Like, there is some chance. I wouldn't rule it out. I do have a history of being wrong recently, so I fully acknowledge that. But at the same time, like, I just think they're not going to go 2-16 on wide open threes. I do think LeBron is going to gain an edge as the series goes along. Maybe it's going to end up looking like the series against Indiana in 2018. I think Dallas Clippers is going to be really interesting. Like, I think the Clippers were also like the Blazers in that they were a lot better than their record. They lost a lot of really close games. And I think the Mavericks have the weapons necessary to beat the Clippers, and what will come in the way is an experience. But if these guys play above that level, I can see them pulling this thing off. Like, I wouldn't bet on it, but I don't think it's impossible.
Well, I think it's really important to note that after 3 minutes of that game, it seemed like there was no way. Seemed like it looked like, I think it was Nikias Duncan who tweeted something along the lines of, like, I didn't know I was watching Jeremy Lin against the Miami Heat, the way they were bullying him. So the fact that, like, stepping away, recollecting himself and then coming back and then just completely having calmed down and played his game for the, you know, the following 93 minutes since, man, Luka, I thought he was gonna look worse than he does, to be honest. Like, and I love Luka, I'm a really, really big fan, but, like, man, he looks good.
I think that's been, like, the most impressive thing of the playoffs for me. I think, like, Blazers winning is great, Magic winning is great, but, like, Luka, like you said, the way he started, especially, so absolutely poorly, and that's what I expected. I think a lot of people expected. I mean, you're going up against a team with maybe the two best wing defenders in the league, especially with Ben Simmons out of action. And you just thought that my thought going in was maybe they take a game, you know, they play really well. Their offense is so good, but I think it's going to be rough. Like, there's going to be a big learning curve. And it felt like he hit it in the first 5 minutes and now he's over it. And now he's just great again. It's been so, so impressive to see.
Can I postulate a theory that I keep throwing out there? You're no one's interested.
Theory, I feel like you're going to, whether or not we agree.
Well, huge so theory I am. Lately. I am. But no one is interested in this theory except me. But I'm still going. I'm just going to keep throwing it out there till I get a bite. So I think Paul George might have ruined the Clippers season by taking that technical foul when they were up like 30 points after 4 minutes because they were absolutely destroying them, and then he takes that tech, and I do feel like the entire Mavericks just, like, they breathe, and then they countered and they fought their way back in, and the entire tenor of the series has changed since. But I think that technical actually mattered, because even at the time, like, it was one of those bullshit throw your fist because you got called for a foul technicals, but I was like, that seems really ill-timed, Paul.
So what you're saying is that the Clippers may have suffered from an outbreak of playoff P.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you never want to catch playoff P.
You don't. Like this. And I also feel a little justified in that, I mean, when we were discussing the flaws of each contending team, the Clippers' flaw that we brought up was that they don't have a guy that really creates shots for other people. Like, they all can create shots for themselves, but we saw it down the stretch in that game against the Mavericks in game two. Everybody doing their thing meant anytime that they're doing their thing, they're taking the ball out of the hands of Kawhi Leonard. And, like, that I just feel like, especially because they didn't have an opportunity to really establish chemistry throughout the regular season, I do think that's really going to rear its head here. But I'm really enjoying this. Like, it is nice to have basketball all day. And it also seems like, and people may dismiss this, they may say it's the bubble after the fact or whatever the case may be, but I think these are the conditions that I was hoping for at the start of the season, where I said, in order to kind of restore people's interest in the regular season, you need to see a playoffs like this, where there's a lot of evenly matched teams, and what the seeding is really matters, because the matchups really come into effect when you're trying to determine how difficult of a series it's going to be. Like, some teams might make the finals, but they had a bad matchup. Like, they fell on the wrong side of the bracket. And I feel like a playoffs like this, where it is competitive, if it does kind of remain this way, can kind of restore some interest in the regular season that kind of went away when we knew the Warriors weren't going to try all year because they have Durant. And when they start trying, even if it's in the last 5 minutes of a game, it's going to be enough for them to win a title.
I find it convenient that you don't mention our favorite team's culpability in the devaluation of the regular season.
I don't know what you're talking about, Carter. We had the playoff switch. Once the playoffs came around, we put on a show. We weren't dicking around. I mean, the Warriors had a playoff switch in 2017, but 2018, they were dicking around. They let that series go long with the Rockets. That was a vulnerable team. We put on a show. Look what we did to that Budenholzer fraud.
Yeah, speaking of that Budenholzer fraud.
I just had to. I absolutely had to, Carter.
The Bucks.
Or, God, not Carter, Ty.
The Bucks have officially, it seems, managed to pull even with the vaunted Orlando Magic to tie the series 1-1. I do want to say, I know we're getting close to lottery proceeding time, and I think we should jump into that soon, but I will say this. It's weird not having home and away games.
But what, like, are you talking
about? Having that rhythm of, like, oh, shit, like, we're going, like, like, you know, like, especially as a degenerate, you know, like that game 3 kitchen sink effort by the you know, wildly outgunned underdog.
The Magic even, like, just lost a home game. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I think that's a road game. Or
they're in Orlando.
They're Carter. In Orlando, Carter. Yeah, was the joke. Okay, thank you for following along. At least
Ty's doing
with
like
me.
The fake home and road thing. Listen. I don't want to talk about it. The point is, it is very, that is the, honestly, the strangest thing to me is that the beats of a series that we're so used to, that like the story of the series is those, you know, first two games for the higher seed, two for the lower, then, you know, the 1-1-1. And like, that's just gone. It's just 7 straight games now. And it's very, that's my, the thing I'm having the hardest time wrapping my head around. And I have a theory that it makes it harder for teams like the Lakers who, took a kind of a momentum hit, because like sometimes, like, I feel like that breakup of what's happening, like, okay, we're going somewhere else, we're playing in a different building, things are switching around, like, mm-hmm. that can kind of help a team recenter themselves. Like, they just kind of have to figure it out in the bubble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I think that can be a big source of frustration for teams too, where it's like, we were rolling, god damn it, like we were ready for the playoffs. And I mean, the Bucks are a perfect example. Like, they rested Giannis perfectly throughout the season, and then they don't really get rewarded for that effort.
Nope. yeah they Sorry. Don't I thought, oh my god, Steph has cornrows. I thought the Lakers, I had not seen that before. I thought the Lakers lost the biggest advantage by the losing home court, because, I mean, people debate, like, is it just being at home as opposed to the actual atmosphere in the arena? But mm-hmm. basically getting 7 straight at home at Staples against the Clippers, if it went to 7, I feel like that's a big-time advantage for L.A. But, yeah, I dummy me thought there would be more sweeps in the first round, because they wouldn't get that game 3 effort from the bad teams. Mm. And then the bad teams went and won a bunch of games. So I don't know why you guys think it's weird. Anyone listens. It is weird.
I do think that things are going to get cleaner as everyone gets used to it. Like, and results are going to get a little chalkier, and teams are going to actually like play their way into the proper shape. Like, I guarantee you LeBron plays much better in the NBA finals if they get there than he is right now. It's just like a matter of ramping up, and like they have to do it kind of in the moment. Though the lottery show has officially started, fellas.
It has started, and Rachel Nichols is there. She's going to say what the fates are and whether or not the number one pick is going to a market that she feels like that player should demand a trade out of. Carter, there's the real possibility for pain with this draft lottery. With that possibility, is there anything that you got for us and our listeners that could help out with a little bit of that pain?
Well, I think the number one thing to help with draft lottery pain is CBD from TheraOne. From tight muscles, tough workouts, signs of aging. This is a long read, Justin.
Cannabis!
To making it through each busy day, everyone understands what it feels like to be tense and sore. So everyone can benefit from TheraOne CBD products. Started by Dr. Jason Wersland, TheraBody exists to provide you with the best scientifically validated natural solutions to help soothe your body and relax your mind. Started with the revolutionary TheraGun percussive therapy device. Oh, my brother has a TheraGun. They're great. When Dr. Jason saw the benefits of using CBD in his treatments, he created TheraOne to bring you CBD products done right. A lot of CBD products claim organic, but still contain up to 30% filler, and these fillers are potentially toxic. Potentially. TheraOne tests their products 4 times before they get to you. Every product is USDA certified organic, grown in the US, and their CBD abstracts are the highest quality available anywhere. Using TheraOne's warming lotion in your morning routine, the cooling lotion or massage oil to recover, body balm for targeted relief, and sleep tincture to drift into a deep night's sleep. Oh my God, this is so long.
And I don't think I want to use it for my morning routine, but continue, Carter.
And now, Jesus Christ. And now through Labor Day, Monday, September 7th, TheraOne is offering our listeners a buy one, get one free for all TheraOne products, but you got to go to theragun.com/bluewire. If you don't love what you get from TheraOne, send it back for a full refund within 30 days of purchase. That is not something TheraOne is likely to do again. So don't be an idiot. Buy one, get one free at theragun.com/bluewire, but only until Labor Day. Go right now to theragun.com/bluewire. Justin, go ahead.
Oh my goodness, Carter. So that's what you need if you need to get over the pain of the Cavs falling to 6, if that is in fact what happens. But while Thursday's exciting, it's got nothing on Sunday, because on Sundays, NFL is coming back with NFL Sunday Ticket.tv. You can stream every live out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite devices, plus Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels. Never miss your favorite teams and favorite players. No matter where you live, NFL Sunday Ticket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout to get a 15% off your subscription. Visit NFL Sunday Ticket.tv and use promo code BLUEWIRE.
Wow. Carter. I gave you an easier job, I won't lie.
Yeah, to peel back the curtain, I was going to do the CBD read. I volunteered for it, and Carter's like, you know what? I had made a comment that it was longer, and Carter's like, hey, I'll take it. Because like my analysis with the Cavs, I know what I'm dealing with when I'm talking about me. And when I'm talking about me, reading is not my strong suit. I really do appreciate you soldiering right the hell through that, Carter.
Well, it wasn't easy. I won't lie to you. But, you know, it felt good to get – the TheraOne product out there to those that need it. And, you know, good, that's really what we're here for. This isn't even a basketball podcast. It's a CBD podcast.
Absolutely. And sorry to cut you off, but Adam Silver, man, that dude looks like the coronavirus. Like, it scares the living shit out of me when he pops up unexpected. Ty, how weird is it to switch gears from going from a playoff game where you actually care to our weird version of caring, which, I mean, we have not had anything since March, and now we have this draft lottery, and you've hung out in our Discord, you've seen all the debates and the arguments over where the Cavs should fall, like what's optimal for them, who they should pick. How weird is it to see another fan base just going through a totally different point in their existence?
Honestly, like, it's kind of beautifully endearing in a way. I mean, it's like, it's so easy to be a Bucks fan. I mean, now it is again. I mean, obviously the horrible loss, but like in general this season, right? It's like, I think it's something a lot of fans are taking for granted. I think I've actually seen some people say some games are boring because like they're winning by too much. And I'm like, please enjoy this. Like, please enjoy this. I've seen like the window closes faster than you think. Like, watch every second.
I don't know
watch
what you're talking Giannis about.
Dunk. Mm-hmm. It's like just enjoy it. So I love to come over and hang out with you guys in the Discord and see like this genuine excitement over the lottery. Not even the lottery for a bad draft, like a non-exciting draft at the top, and like the fact that I'm not sure if you guys, I mean, Justin I guess wants one, Carter wants like 4 or 5 maybe, I don't even know. Like, it's all like, it's exciting to me just to see this energy about something, you know, in comparison it might seem trivial, like I feel like it's the most real fandom is cheering for lottery odds in this draft. And in what month is it? August.
Justin, yeah. Did you expect to invite Ty on to be patronized? Because I
oh yeah, man,
he's better than us.
Looks
like PricewaterhouseCoopers is popping their way out. I think they're the ones who do the draft lotto. Oh, and they're taking a commercial break, fellas.
Taking a commercial break. So, Carter, I think we should discuss, because my tastes have elevated since the last time we podcasted. One of the things that came up, a bit of news with the Cavs, is the Delete 8 teams are going to get the chance to have their own mini camps in September. So I'm really excited about that. I'm hopeful that the Cavs show a scrimmage. But the fact that those camps are now occurring has changed my stance on this, because the Cavs are going to get an opportunity to look at Sexton, Garland, KPJ, Windler, and figure out what those guys look like after what is essentially an offseason. I mean, they're practicing at the facility right now, but they aren't allowed to work with coaches, trainers, or anything like that. It's basically open gym and weight room. So with that in mind, I feel better about the Cavs being able to look at what they currently have. And even though personally I don't want LaMelo Ball, which by all indications he is at the top of the Cavs draft board, if they feel like Garland, for example, has not shown any growth and he's still the same player as last year, and after they interview LaMelo, which according to stories today, he's not a great interview, but if they go through their research and they feel like that's a worthwhile gamble, it's more palatable for me. Like, I feel a little bit better with that. Or they can make the decision at number one to either trade down, or if they don't like LaMelo and they like what they've seen from the guards, maybe they take Wiseman at that point.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, is there anyone who's just an absolute no for you in the top three? Because I feel like it's just Toppin. Like, your boy can talk himself into Anthony Edwards if you really make him.
I think Edwards is the one I like the least, because LaMelo, I think, can be a good player. I just don't think it would occur in Cleveland. And that's not just because his last name's Ball and it's Cleveland. Like, I just think that is not an ideal situation to maximize what he can bring to the table. Edwards really doesn't do it for me. I mean, there was the quote, I believe, Jonathan Wasserman, a Bleacher Report had it, where a scout described Anthony Edwards as the lowest IQ lottery pick in recent memory. And that is not something you want. Like, as I said before, I know what the Cavs are. I know what our strengths and weaknesses are. We're trying to improve as both a podcast and as a franchise. But lowest IQ player that they don't know if he can fit into winning team basketball on either ends of the court, that does not sound like a recipe for success for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Can I butt in quickly?
Just yeah, real please quick.
Isn't that the same thing that came out about Colin Sexton in his rookie year? Like, this guy doesn't know how to play basketball. He's kind of irredeemable. I don't know. I'm just saying that's one take. That's one person's take. I'm not ridiculously pro Edwards. Mm-hmm. But I think if that is the guy they end up with, whatever pick they end up with, and not to just hijack this whole thing, I think it becomes way more important than ever to really bring in some key veterans, even if they're not going to play a ton, just to really make sure, and maybe just retain some key veterans. Obviously, the whole Tristan Thompson thing is up in the air. Andre Drummond has added a flair of mystery to his offseason that seems so obvious. Now, all of a sudden, I don't know if he just wants to, like, if he's watched, like, the Dwight Mayer stuff and Dwight vacillate and, like, said, I want this for me. I have no idea what's going through his mind, but who knows? But I think that's definitely, like, find a veteran guard or wing who can handle the ball to help this guy, try to keep TT around, try to keep Kevin Love around. I know he said, whatever it was, 6 weeks or 6 months, he's going to be in Cleveland. Maybe he reconsiders now. I think you need that strong veteran presence, though, more than, I mean, really for a team this young, probably either way, but especially with Edwards, who does seem even generously, like, he's probably going to need that coaching up from coaches and players.
Yeah. I do think there's just a little bit of Vic Oladipo in there. That feels like the good version of Oladipo prior to getting hurt, which, you know, like, we're not quite sure where he's going to land, but I think that version of him
dude looks like an NBA player. Like, that's the main thing. Like, that's the aspect I understand. And Ty, like, one key difference between Sexton and Edwards would be, like, coming out of college, it was, okay, Sexton's a workhorse. He tried on defense. He was a good pick and roll player. Edwards is someone that looks like he has all the talent, but his decision-making made it so that he was not an effective scorer at any part of the floor, and was not a contributor on defense, wasn't a contributor as a playmaker. So there is a difference. Like, the Cavs veterans didn't like that Sexton was starting without Merritt. And one interesting thing, so Carter, I want to get your thoughts on this as well. Thinking about this crop of players, like, I think there's going to be a lot of quality players to come out of this, maybe not a franchise cornerstone, but I think a lot of these guys, almost all of them, are going to follow the Kevin Porter Jr. kind of route of, because there isn't really like a small forward lock in this draft, I think they're going to come off the bench and it's going to be a situation where they have to earn minutes. Maybe that evolves, but I don't see a game one starter from this group.
The only caveat there is that the Cavs have been willing to lean on the draft status of their players in terms of kind of forcing minutes. So Garland was clearly not really ready to be a starter, and he was a day one starter.
Yeah. Delly was the other option.
Delly was your other option. I get it. But my point is, if they win this lottery, maybe that feels a little different, you know? And maybe they decide, hey, you know, we're gonna end up playing, you know, we can't bury our number one overall pick behind a Darius Garland who had a really unimpressive rookie year. If we think that, and honestly, I think, like, what if they look good in camp, you know, like they might just pull the trigger, you know,
it might absolutely, like, let's say if you do draft LaMelo Ball and he looks better than Darius Garland whenever this next season starts, to me, that's a win. Cause you're talking, like, even if Garland is just like marginally better than he was last year, which is something that almost always happens with experience, being better than someone that has already played in the NBA, that would be an absolute win. Like, I'd be thrilled with that. I just think, even though your point is correct that in the past they have started guys that they've drafted high.
Well, luckily they have enough of those now that they don't.
Yeah, like, you'd be benching someone that you drafted high in favor of whoever you drafted here. So the lottery has begun. Boston's picking 14. No real surprises there. We should have come up with the list so we know if anybody dropped. Let me see. So you got the graphic up there.
Yeah, Pelicans, so we are live on the Chase Down with the live lottery from our dear friends at ESPN. Do not DMCA us, ESPN. We're barely showing it. Come on, guys.
All right. I don't know if any of this means is somebody dropped. This is very bad analysis. So. Or somebody jumped, I should say.
Yeah, this is top part. Well, here's the thing that's nice for us is, even though we're watching on mute, we will see it. They automatically pop it into the top of the graphic if someone jumps. So
I have Tankathon up. So far it's chalk, which is a very good sign, because that means that it reduces the number of teams that could jump up. I mean, you could always have shuffling among the bottom five or whatever the case may be.
I wouldn't have hated the Wizards to move up.
Knicks picking eight.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh my God. So that means they fell two.
The Hornets.
So that's interesting, because now that might be a situation where the Cavs may trade back with the Knicks to eight to get someone like Devin Vassell. That could be something that comes into play.
Oh, that's actually not a terrible spot for them to trade back, because the Knicks do have some guys. Nice to see the Hornets jump up. They could use some.
Six, Atlanta Hawks. So Atlanta falls
in the top four as well.
Oof. Holy shit, five. Okay, we don't want the Cavs here. Cavs.
Cavs fell to five. Unbelievable.
Come on, Brad Doherty. What are you doing here, buddy? That bow tie wasn't tight enough. That's what it is.
Wildly disappointing for the Cavs in terms of luck, but I will say in terms of kind of – where we're going to have a chance to get a guy we really, really love, it's actually not the worst thing. I think that you're going to have the chance to go chase a guy like Denny. I think a guy like Okongwu could fall. I think
the most likely thing, and I'm tweeting this right now, Isaac Okoro is going to be a Cavalier.
Oh, that's an interesting pick. And thank you for paying so much attention to the live product. That they're firing off.
Listen, tweets. I'm listening to you. I'm a multitasker. I can do multiple things, man.
Justin, like, you're never listening to me.
Carter, I'm someone that can keep my dribble alive in the paint and know where everybody on the court is. I even know where the fans and the virtual cameras are. You know,
That's nice, dear. But I think five means that we're drafting Okoro.
So can we make a five? Can we make a top of five like list?
And okay, see, so like first takeaway, LaMelo Ball is not going to be a Cleveland Cavalier. They are not going to waste assets to trade up in this draft. So I mean, this is something that we've heard reported where the Cavs are very comfortable falling because there's a lot of guys in that range that they do like. And personally, I said that this is probably the least stressed I was going into a lottery because I did not feel like there was a real opportunity cost for falling.
We're going out. You know, we haven't, we've been just knocking out tender dates. You know, we don't have anyone we're in love with that we're hoping is on the other side of that text message, leaving us on red, desperately wanting to pick up. You know, like this is like we're just whoever we pick, we're just going out with. We're not in love.
I don't know. I feel like Justin might secretly have a big crush on Okongwu, unless that's changed.
Okongwu, to be clear, is still the number one guy. But like, let's discuss basically. So Evan Damerel, Locked On Cavs. If you guys are tuning in live here, make sure you are both downloading our podcast after the fact. None of you have to listen to our podcast. Just download it. That's all I really care about. But check out their podcast as well. Support our friends. But basically what we've heard for a Cavs board essentially was Ball, Wiseman, Edwards, Okoro was their number four. So that's why that's higher than most teams have. That's higher than most projections. So that's why I feel like at five, they're basically a lock to get their guy that they like outside of that tier. Vassell was the other guy that was mentioned, and Denny is probably your sleeper because it does seem like the front office does have prominent members that are in favor of getting Denny. So I really feel like it's going to be Okoro or Denny, which both are pretty good fits for what the Cavs have going on right now.
Yeah, really all I want is to not – and here's the draft scenario that's a bit of a nightmare for the Cavs is, you know, what about Killian Hayes? What about these guard? What about a guard that might – you know, make a push up the big board as we get closer and closer, and then they fall. And do the Cavs make that call where it's like, okay, we like LaMelo or we like Killian Hayes. Are we willing to take another freaking guard because we had Denny or Okoro in a slot that, you know, in a tier below that? I don't know.
That simplifies that is Killian Hayes said that he doesn't want the Cavs to draft him. He does not want to play in Cleveland because of all the guards that they have. And if the Cavs were willing to pass up on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for that reason, like a big thing that the Cavs are trying to do is build a culture. They want guys that really want to be there, that really work hard. Sexton falls into that. Garland, KPJ, like they really like the character of those guys. And I think they understand the value, especially if you're talking about tiebreakers and players within a similar tier. You're going to go with the guys that don't really care about playing in Cleveland as a market, that are there to play basketball, that are willing to buy into what Bickerstaff is doing. And I mean, Okoro, by all accounts, sounds like a guy with that kind of work ethic, that kind of motor. And getting somebody that really contributes on the defensive end, I think that's going to be something that really works out well for the Cavs. And he's someone that you could play with basically any combination of the guards, which there's going to be so much shuffling within the course of a game. These guys are all going to have to be able to play with one another.
Yeah, I do think so. I don't know. I will say another frustrating outing for the new draft lottery odds.
You know what? It's going to pay off, though. It's going to pay off when we're at like 10th odds next year and we get Cade Cunningham, and then boom, playoffs, baby.
If only the woodpecker size.
I think the unfortunate part for you guys about this top four and being in fifth is,
oh God, it's going to be the Wolves or the fucking Warriors.
It's totally going to be you knew it was going to be the Warriors.
Wolves.
Oh, it's the Wolves. Okay. I'm worried these teams don't necessarily need point guards. I know the Warriors are high on Tyrese Halliburton, but I think they also kind of like Wiseman. And the Wolves just got the pictured D'Angelo Russell. The Bulls, I think, are pretty high on Coby White still. I don't know if they're
going to Gerson Rosas did just come pretty aggressively on the record saying that he feels like D'Angelo or Karl Anthony Towns can play the one and the two or the four or the five. I don't really buy that. I will say Russell is kind of nice in that sense. Like Russell actually does make sense there. Like if you really, really believe in LaMelo Ball as a playmaker,
Like Russell's a pretty good pairing if either ever learns how to try on defense.
Yeah, it's two big guards. Like that might be the worst defense in the NBA. Like I think LaMelo is easily
going to be anyway.
LaMelo's going to be the worst defender in basketball next year because we're talking
Trae Young
about
included.
What?
No,
Trae Young included.
No, I think he's going to be worse than Trae Young.
No way.
Because I mean, you read the scouting reports. This guy has literally never studied defense. He does not bend his knees. Like he has active hands and he has length. I think he is going to be that bad. Like that. That's my take. But like that combination of the three, and like that. That was one of my biggest things coming into this draft is. Because I don't feel that there's an offensive cornerstone in this draft. Like some guys might turn out to be very solid offensive players. I wanted to get guys that are polished on defense because this draft really does have a lot of them. And the other thing I wouldn't fully rule out, another thing that was mentioned by Wasserman, and it's been mentioned by all draft analysts, there is no consensus in this draft. Like some people do have Wiseman falling like late lottery. And if that's somebody that does fall to five, like I wouldn't totally rule that out. I do think Okoro is the most likely outcome, but I would not rule out Wiseman. I just want to add that in there because, as I mentioned before, I'm so rarely right that I just want to make sure that takes in there just in case. I want to sprinkle that in, Carter. So put that in your little notebook, keeping track of me.
So yeah, I think Wiseman is definitely the pick if he falls to five.
Oh, 100%.
I will say, man, Okongwu is going to be there, and they're gonna pass on him, and it's gonna break our heart.
I think the Pistons like Hayes a lot, and I think they could really. I think they would want a point guard. I do wonder if there's a potential trade down two spots for not a ton of stuff thing there, because again, like I just. Like, the guys the Cavs, I think, will want. I don't know if a lot of – like, those point guards, I think, are high on the board right now. Maybe Edwards is gone by then. I think Edwards probably goes before the Cavs go. Maybe Charlotte. They could use a mid-sized wing. And he would be, like, the kind of guy who Charlotte tragically gets, and he's terrible. But maybe Hayes is on the board, and they can pick up something to scoot down and still get, like, Okoro or Okongwu or one of those guys who you imagine will be there two picks later.
I will note Chris Fedor, beat reporter, just tweeted, the early sense I get is that you guys like Onyeka and Okongwu more than the Cavs do.
He's
fringe tier two. Like that's what we've heard is that he's fringe tier two and the Cavs have a pick firmly in tier two. I don't think that you're going to really see much movement. Like I think because the talent class is so kind of flat here, that's going to be a lot of teams just kind of picking the guy they like and moving forward with it. I don't think it's going to be a very eventful draft in terms of the Cavs moving around. I do think that we're going to end up with a good player. Like the other guy, like let's say Okoro does get drafted higher than expected and it's kind of a DeAndre Hunter thing where, holy shit, this guy went fourth for some reason. The next up guy is Vassell, which Carter and I, like, that's an even simpler fit. Like that's probably one of the highest floor guys in this draft. So I'm coming away from this feeling pretty good. Like we're going to get a very solid prospect that fits with this team. Like all the players that are left in that range are going to fit well. Like even if it's Killian Hayes, that's a guy that you can easily have as a third guard coming off the bench. I don't think that Hayes is going to be on their radar, but you're going to get a guy that fits well with the team. That's not necessarily going to raise your floor to a point where you're jeopardizing your chances that dramatically at an impact player the following year. And this is going to be a nice, healthy competition. Like I'm pretty excited about what this means for the Cavs.
Yeah. Looking at Tankathon's Insta big board, they've got Edwards, Wiseman, LaMelo, Killian, Denny to the Cavs, Okongwu to the Hawks, Okoro to the Pistons, Halliburton to the Knicks, which just seems like the top end of the Suns, which is kind of interesting.
Carter, I'm going to be mean.
What?
I'm going to be mean, and I hate being mean to Wolves fans because they've been nothing but lovely to me every time I've gone to Minneapolis. Sure. So I just want to apologize on the front end. But it would be really funny to see the Wolves draft Shabazz Muhammad twice.
Oh, rough.
Anthony Edwards isn't 28.
No, but he's terrible.
I do think, do we see a trade down? Let's say Wiseman's on the board at five. Is someone going to fall in love with him and trade for him? I don't know if that's the case. Like I don't see a lot of teams that are looking for centers, you know, like maybe.
Ty, no, it's funny. Carter gave me shit for not listening earlier, and I just went on a spiel about how I don't see a trade down with the Cavs.
I'm sorry.
And
I'm
his next idea for a segment is, do we see a trade down here?
I'm sorry.
A team falls in love with Wiseman, know who would fall in love with Wiseman? The fucking Cleveland Cavaliers.
That's fair. I will say this. I'm busy producing the show. Go fuck yourself.
Carter, in fairness, my thought was more Hayes. I think a team could fall in love with Hayes, and I don't think it would be a lot, to be clear. I don't think it's going to be like an unprotected future first, since this is such a crapshoot draft, but I also think that crapshoot draft could play into somebody saying, we'll give you a second or two to move up two spots because we don't know who anyone is taking. I think that could play into the hand of teams wanting to trade up two, three, four spots because – there's not this consensus. I feel like some drafts have been pretty obvious looking at it. This one, like, we have an idea right now, but and there's still a lot of time to go. I don't know. Like, it could shake out a lot of ways, and none of them I don't think would, like, drop my jaw to the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I don't know. I think we were always going to have, like, a slightly positive reaction because –
oh, no. Yeah, I said that on falling, the front end. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
falling
gets you – falling protects you from Edwards. And winning the lottery is winning the lottery. You know, you're going to get your organization's going to get the best chance at their scouting department to the test, go find a star. But like, I will say, man, I still fucking hate the new odds.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And hopefully down the road, it favors us. One thing that I think is nice, because obviously the Cavs are like, I've talked about this before, but like if anybody's skeptical of this process, I don't blame you. Like I don't blame you if your philosophy on the Cleveland Cavaliers is I need to see it before I buy in. But I've been pretty good with what they've done basically since LeBron has left. Like I like the moves. I like where it's building towards. It could all fall apart at any moment, but I do like what they've been doing. And I think part of like rebuilding trust in the fan base and especially like the casual Cleveland sports fan. If we got, let's say, the number one pick, this number one pick would probably be the number eight the previous year or the number eight the following year. And like the mindset would be you got another number one pick and you're still not a playoff team. And I think at five, you can get a really solid player and you can continue this kind of organic growth that the Cavs have got going on. And I just think kind of mitigating expectations at this point and exceeding those expectations is something that could kind of pay off for this team rebuilding trust within the fan base.
Yeah. I think that's fair. I don't know. I just think like, it just feels so exceptionally additionally random to the path to contention is just so like, it was already random, but at least there was some like clear road up the mountain and like, you know, like, what if they fall another four spots like next year? What if they're bad again? And then we're just like, oh, I guess we just suck forever now.
Yeah. What if you're the Knicks and you desperately need a high pick and you fall to eight?
Oof, that's a bad drop.
That's so bad. The Stephen A. Cliffs.
Like by all accounts, this is like, correct me if I'm wrong, but by all accounts, this seems to be a seven-ish person draft. Like there's some guys that people like outside of that.
And there's always the Vassal falling, but I agree. Yeah.
The Vassal in the top end areas, but like.
Yeah. I mean, Tankathon has.
Oh, they're taking Toppin. They're going to take Toppin.
They are going to take
Poor Mitch. Poor Mitch. Mitch is never going to start a game for the New York Knicks in his entire career.
Well, Toppin will play power forward and they'll trade Randall. Maybe. No, they'll trade Mitch.
they'll trade Mitch or he'll just play 14 minutes a game for the next year.
God, they're going to take
My thing with the new odds is this. I think teams usually don't sit in the bottom two in record for very long. Like you start to move up gradually pretty much no matter what, because other teams end their runs and get worse or have injuries. Mm-hmm. Like the Hornets getting three is fun and good because the Hornets are a team who are afraid to tank. They have an owner who is sort of famous, who doesn't like losing or losing revenue from no one going to their game. So they're never bad on purpose. And they try to win, and they're just not very good. And now they're going to get a top three guy because they tried. And I think that is the outcome. That's what I like to see. I don't like to see the Bulls moving up because I think they're just very bad at things. So, I mean, that's just bad luck on the karma scale. But, like, the Hornets moving up to three, that's something I like. So that's my positive spin on it. And there was less chance the Warriors got one, which I mean, imagine if this was a normal draft and the Warriors were almost locked into one or two. It's good to see, like, you can't just intentionally tank 1 year and you're not guaranteed a pick. I think there's less incentive to be bad. I think there's incentive to be good, which is good. I mean, I hope the Cavs are like seventh or eighth in lottery odds and move up and get Cade Cunningham. That would make me feel good.
Yeah, but they probably won't.
Maybe. Yeah,
that's kind of my thing. They probably won't.
Good God, Carter. Go, co-host Locked On, you negative Nancy.
playing the numbers, fellas.
Well, you know what? I think there's something to what Ty's saying, because, like, look at the NBA right now. Like, outside of the glamour markets that have kind of built through acquiring free agents, so basically LA times two, Milwaukee, Toronto, Denver, Utah, like, these are teams that have all built organically. And I think right now we're seeing in drafts, like, this is a bad draft, not because these players are all terrible. It's a bad draft because there isn't a franchise cornerstone. But there is, like, starters to be had throughout this whole draft and players you can develop. And I think that is the best way to go about it in today's NBA, is maximize every single asset you have, try to be competitive, because you're more likely to get an all-star or a franchise cornerstone later in the lottery than you are to win a title with whoever you draft as a number one pick. Like, it almost never happens. And I know we fetishize it, getting that number one pick, and that's the best way to add a talent. But the best way to actually win and be consistent in today's NBA is develop a winning culture and develop whatever talent you have. So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of different philosophies. Yes, I would have liked the Cavs to have a better shot at Zion last year and a better shot here. To get the number one pick in this draft and kind of have flexibility there. But ultimately, I don't think it's a bad thing, because I think the Cavs' path is, and their whole philosophy is, just develop what they have and try to turn the culture around.
Yeah, that's all they can do, you know. And we'll see if they have that that in them. I think they've got some good kids on the roster. Sexton, you know, for all his, you know, warts, works really, really hard. KPJ seems to be pretty committed to the cause. Love, I gotta say, maybe this is naive of me, but Love being like, keep Tristan, he matters to us. Like, kind of made, like, even just like the us, like, hey, you haven't all the way completely mentally checked out.
Hey, Kevin got slightly happier as Sexton got better.
Bro, I agree. I thought I have no qualms with Kevin Love's back half of the season's effort.
We're going long, and we need to let Ty record the Eurostep, which all of our listeners should be checking out the Eurostep and subscribing. Ty,
please do.
Two things before we wrap this up. One, do you still feel good about the Bucks title chances? Have they shifted in any way?
I feel slightly worse, and it's not just that they haven't played well, although that matters. I think, like you said, I think the teams will all, like, get in rhythm and get rolling soon. Like, I think one thing, the Raptors people say you're not allowed to talk about it, but I think we probably should, is they were bubbled up and like training and practicing for like a couple weeks before anybody else. And
yeah,
they've been rolling the whole time. And I think there's a reason for that. And they felt comfortable playing their guys big minutes this whole time. I think there's a reason for that, but they deserve credit. They're very good. Please, Toronto Twitter, just don't come after me. You guys are good. I said it. But I feel worse, like, just schematically, it's been really bad. And I'm hoping it's just Bud trying stuff and still.
No, you don't want, you'd never want to hope Bud's trying stuff.
I know, but that's all I can do. I don't have any other choice. There's no options here. Ty Lue ain't walking through that door, at least not this season. Yeah. So that's the hope, but I feel like slightly more pessimistic. The other good teams in the East look good, and the Bucks just have not looked consistently great thus far, which is troubling.
Fair enough. And I want to leave with a parting thought as well. You know what makes me happy, what warms my heart right now? I've invested in Sexton, Garland, and Kevin Porter Jr., and I'm happy that they're at least going to get one more season to try things out. Ty's rocking the Sexton shirt. I'm rocking the Garland shirt. But like,
I'm rocking the Sexton Love and Pick and Roll shirt.
Hey,
we got all three Chasedown shirts. We didn't even coordinate that. That's awesome.
Let's go.
But you know, like, especially like anyone that's been listening knows that, like, what Sexton did the last three quarters of the season, I'm buying into, and I'm excited for what he can do. All three of them, I want to see them at least get one more year, because I'd kind of feel like I got shortchanged if I didn't. So I'm glad that we're going to get that. Like, even though Let's say it is Okoro or Vassell, like that's just going to be a guy in the rotation. It's not going to be someone that forces you to trade away one of the guys that you already have. So I'm excited for that. Hopefully our listeners are excited as well. We got a really good draft show coming up next week, so make sure you guys check that out. We got a very special guest, so keep your eyes peeled for that. Support the Eurostep, support the Chase Down. Do it the same way by leaving a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. If you want to be part of our Discord chat and talk shit to Ty and tell him that Budenholzer sucks and all that good shit, send a screenshot of that review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. We really appreciate all of your support. We hope you guys are doing well, staying safe, and until next time, go Cavs. What's up, guys? I am back, just like pro sports. We got a bonus ad read here for our exclusive partners at Bet Online. Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball is back in action, and there's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners, Bet Online. Check out all the odds, futures, and prop bets, all available 24/7. And with the return of sports, BetOnline sat down with former pro players Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and seven-time NBA champion Robert Horry. See what they have to say on what it'll be like playing without fans in a series they're calling Fandemic. Visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. Remember to use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.